What must I do to be saved? Everybody in here saved? Okay. There's everybody listening probably is not okay. There's two ways we're going to look at this. First off, let me give you the setting where Paul and Silas they're on what we would call missionary journey, I suppose. Paul's cast the devil out of this young girl, and it's upset her owners. And so they've brought him before, he and Silas, before the magistrates, and they are severely beaten and then turned over to the jailer and give him a charge that causes him not only to put them in inner prison, but to put them in stocks as well. And then I want to pick up with verse 25. It says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's shackles were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awoke out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul shouted with a loud voice, saying, 'Do yourself no harm, for we're all here.' Then he called for a light and ran in, came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, and your house.' And they spoke to him the word of the Lord, and to all who were in his house." That's really what I want to draw your attention to. Now, if you go back to verse 30, where the jailer says, "Sirs," that's an interesting word, because it's used many, many times. That Greek word is used many, many times in the Bible. Most of those times is translated as Lord. Kyrios, supreme in authority. I found that interesting because the jailer has authority over them, and now he's bowing to them and calling them Lord. Interesting, isn't it? Just keep that in mind, and let's turn over to Romans chapter 10. And I want to read verses 13 through 17, I think. Romans chapter 10. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Is that what they told this jailer to do? "How then shall they call on him on whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach," this translation says, "unless they're sent?" Sent is an interesting word. It's apostello is the Greek word, and it means set apart. How can they preach if they're not set apart? Okay? Then he goes on to say, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." It's written in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. You want to read that. "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our report?'" Isaiah 53, 1. "Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Verse 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Now, I want to take you back. We'll go back to Acts 16 is really where we're going to camp down. But I felt like these other things, this other scripture, needed to be read to give you some insight. Here you have Paul and Silas out preaching the gospel. They have been set apart for that. Originally, it was Paul and Barnabas that were set apart in Antioch. And then because of the dissension between Paul and Barnabas, Barnabas took John Mark, went to Cyprus, and then Paul chose Silas, and the church approved that. They set them apart to go on this journey that they're on at this particular time. And so, through a series of events, they're in prison, and then God does a miraculous thing with an earthquake that opens the jail and releases the shackles. I could see opening the jail, but releasing the shackles were pretty incredible in and of itself, isn't it? That an earthquake would do that. And then this jailer immediately recognizes this as some phenomenal thing that's occurred. And it says, "What must I do to be saved?" Now, we can take the statement, and I've heard this statement taken a lot out of context, and just said, "Believe on the Lord, and you can be saved in your household." Well, that's a true statement, but how can you believe in one that you've never heard about? Right? And so you have to take this other verse in here, in verse 32, that they spoke to them about the Lord. In other words, the jailer has taken Paul and Silas from the jail to his own house. And he has his household in there, and Paul is telling them the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And so from the jailer's perspective, what must I do to be saved? From Paul and Silas' perspective, you have to know how to present to them to where you can answer the question, what must I do to be saved? It's more than a confession. Now, I didn't read all of that in Romans 10, but it says you believe in your heart and confess. Actually, the word translated is confess. The definition, the Greek definition, is acknowledge. You're acknowledging what you believe. You're not just saying something, but it's an acknowledgement of what you believe. And so, how can you believe without hearing the message? So, the role of the preacher that's set apart is to accurately deliver the message to where a person can be saved. Now, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby they may be saved but the name of Jesus. That's also in Acts 4, okay? Something else I want to show you. How many of you have ever heard faith comes from hearing, hearing by the Word of God? I just read it to you in context. Did you catch it? The context is this Philippian jailer, and it's showing that in order for him to have the faith to be saved, he had to hear the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. He's not just hearing Paul in a way that God agrees with. And it'll be Jesus and Jesus alone. Jesus plus nothing. Paul ran into a problem with the Galatians. You know, he had led them to the Lord, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They believed in Jesus Christ. And then some religious people came in behind that. Well, you need to believe in Jesus, but you need to do some works. You need to have circumcision to what you believe. Well, listen, how did you get saved? You understand? You heard the true Word of God. You got saved through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did. Now, why do you want to add anything to that? If that got you saved, it'll keep you saved. You follow me? And a lot of people today are trying to embellish stuff. They're not giving a pure gospel. We have to be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks the reason for the hope that's in us. We need to give an accurate answer. The gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't give it if you don't know it. That means you need to know thoroughly about Jesus. You need to know what surrounded His birth, His life, His ministry, His rejection, persecution, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension. You need to have those on the inside of you where it's established so you can adequately present Jesus to one who's asking, what must I do to be saved? Accept Jesus. You see, we're so used to saying that, we don't realize that there's people that don't know Jesus. There's people that never heard of Jesus. There's people in this city that don't know Jesus, that's never heard of Jesus. Yeah, right here in America. They don't know Him. We talk about everybody having a Bible. They don't even have Bibles. What would you do if someone asked you, what must I do to be saved? Can you immediately give them the answer? I've had phone calls asking, can I bring so-and-so to the office? They want to get saved. I said, get them saved where you are. You get them saved. If their heart's convicted right now, that's the time to deal with them. Don't you know how to present Jesus to them? And the sad truth is, too many people don't. Now, I'm not trying to avoid anything. Bring the person on. That's not the issue. But from the time they leave till the time they get here, their heart may not be as tender. You see what I'm saying? When a person's ready to receive, that jailer was ready right then. Paul didn't say, wait till tomorrow. At midnight, you understand, by the time they got to that house, we're talking about wee hours in the morning. You got to get a revelation of this. No, nothing's more important than Jesus presenting Jesus to that man and his family. Evidently, he got his family up. Get up, we're going to hear the gospel. Now, when Paul said, you and your household, the household has to believe too. You don't get blanket coverage on this or group policy. It's individual. You understand? And so the individuals in that household heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a tendency to assume that, especially if you live in America, that you've heard the gospel. Or if you've attended church regular, that you've heard the gospel. But I would say percentage-wise that it's a minority that have heard the gospel in its true form of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why there's so much emphasis on works. And Jesus Himself said that the work is to believe on the Son. The Father says, you know, to believe on the Son. That's the work. And then by believing on Jesus and receiving Jesus, you'll have corresponding actions. But the emphasis is not on what you do. The emphasis is on what you believe. And we have to be convinced that gospel message impregnated into that gospel that leads to salvation. But it's the only one who believes. You have to believe it. It's not enough to hear the message. It's not enough to assent to the message. I take you back to Romans 10. You have to believe in your heart. We're not talking about head salvation. We're talking about the heart. We're talking about the core of the being, to where you're convinced that what you're hearing is true. I grew up in church and I heard preacher after preacher after preacher after preacher. I never got saved. Never wanted to. But there was a point when conviction came, and now I'm hearing God, not a man. And the thing that's going on in my heart is, with the knowledge I had at that time, I don't want to go to hell. Only this time it was a genuine deal. I want the Lord. I don't want to go to hell. I want the Lord. But when you do that, you have to stay with it. And I didn't stay with it. You understand? You can let it go. I didn't have an understanding of the true gospel of Jesus Christ laid out in systematic order to me. Virgin birth, sinless life, powerful ministry, the rejection, the persecution, the crucifixion, death, burial, resurrection, ascension. I knew things generally, but I didn't know it personally. And salvation personally. And it has to go deep into the heart of an individual. Lord God had worked on this jailer. This jailer was right. But somebody had to be able to tell him how to get saved. Somebody had to give him an accurate message on Jesus Christ and what he had done for that individual. You with me? And so, our role, the ones I'm speaking to here in this place, is to know how. To know how to tell a person, how to tell a person how to get saved. God's way. Not religion's way. God's way. And that's going to be by telling them what Jesus Christ has done and how that relates to them as an individual. You understand? I'm not talking about taking them down a Roman road. I'm talking about just telling them the truth about what Jesus did and keep you systematic theology out of it. And just tell them in a way that they can understand it. We're all born in sin. Everybody knows there's a supreme being. There's somebody bigger than you are out there. All you have to do is look around you. I don't believe anybody that's sane, at gut level, believes bang and it happened. Who set off the bomb? It goes beyond that, right? So we have to be convinced in order to be convincing, to tell people that you know you're born in sin and you need a Savior and you can't save yourself. So God's made a provision through His Son, Jesus Christ. And then you just lay it out in a very simple form. Jesus walked this earth in a human body just like we have. He felt what we felt. He got tired. He got hungry. You understand? You want to talk about rejection? He can tell you about rejection. You want to talk about persecution? He can tell you about persecution. And he never did anything wrong. All he ever did was good. He went about doing good. That was his ministry. Healing, delivering. But his doing good made people jealous. So what do you do if you're jealous? You try to get rid of the person you're jealous of. Either by murder or by character assassination. In his case, they wanted him killed. But they were just doing what God had already planned. And so Jesus didn't die for his sin, he died for your sin. Now you've got to get a person to see that as an individual. It's easy to say, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. But how about God so loved me? I've got to believe that that son was given for me. That that son bore the penalty, the death penalty for me. You understand that he was killed because that was the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death. Somebody has to die for sin. And so as our substitute, Jesus volunteered to die for the sin of all humanity. But that doesn't make it automatic. You have to believe in him. You have to become one with your substitute in order to get the benefit of what the substitute did. You follow me? People need to hear this, and you'd be surprised how many people sitting in church week after week don't know this. Just this pure, simple, unadulterated gospel message of Jesus Christ. And incidentally, gospel is good news. Nowhere in the gospel message do you tell people they're going to hell. That's not good news. What do? You talk about the Redeemer. You don't talk about hell. You talk about eternity with the Lord. But a lot of people and their witnessing spend more time on hell and damnation than they do on the Savior. There's none righteous, no, not one. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. You don't accept Jesus, you're going to live eternally in hell. We'll go on and on and on with the torment and all that. God wants us to see the good news. What must I do to be saved? Well, I'm glad you asked. I want to talk to you about Jesus. I want to talk to you about the Son of God. I want to talk to you about the Savior of humanity. Now, let's just start from the time he was born and take him through his life, through his ministry, through his death, burial, resurrection, and his ascension. And he's coming back for those who have accepted him. Hebrews says he's coming again to those who are looking for him. You understand, a lot of times we leave that part out. You're looking for the return of the Lord. This time, it's not going to be the bare sin. It's without sin unto salvation. We accept the salvation here now, but when he comes back, we'll get a full redemption. Spirit, soul, and body. Thank God we've got the down payment now. Our spirits have been made new. We call it new birth. The body's not born again. And these are things people have to know. No, your body's not born again. Your body is not even you. It's just the house you're living in that gives you connection with an environment around you. But the real you is living in that body. God's interested in that real you. God, you didn't have anything to do with the nature you were born with, but you do have something to do with getting a nature change. So we're, instead of having an Adam nature, carnal nature, you have the opportunity to get a divine nature, God's nature, and lead him to Jesus. And you don't have to preach an hour. Don't wear them out with beating around the bush and all this type stuff. Just go straight to the point. Straight to the point of what Jesus has done. What must I do to be saved? You believe in Jesus and what Jesus has done for you, and you'll be saved. And if your household will believe, they'll be saved also. You got it? Okay. So you know that there is absolutely no other way to be saved than to accept Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as your personal Savior. You have to believe on the name of Jesus. There's no other way. So don't add anything to it. That's your message. Don't tell them to go to church. Don't tell them to do this. Don't tell them to do that. Get them to love the Lord. If they love the Lord, the other stuff will follow suit. When your desire for the Lord is strong enough, you want to be where the Lord is. Okay? Just dwell on getting them born again with a recognition that Jesus wants to come into your heart. And the way he gets there is not that he's going to make a physical appearance and jump in you. He lives in your heart by what you believe. Jesus is in my heart by my faith. He dwells in our hearts by faith. That's what the Bible teaches. Are you convinced? You understand? You have to be convinced. A lot of people aren't convinced. Well, I don't know. I've never seen him. Well, you're not looking through the eyes of faith then, because faith sees it. It's evidence. I know he lives in me. Well, I don't see him. Of course you don't. You're thinking natural. You're looking natural. You got all this? Okay. Well, whoever this is for, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but you must know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just say, I've heard about Jesus and I accept it. No, we're talking about quality. We're talking about knowledge, to where you're basing your decision on absolute facts that are documented in the Word of God. Amen? Okay, that's the message. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, you enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you pray before you. Amen. You guys have a great week, and just make sure that you're ready to give an answer to anyone who asks the reason of the hope that's in you, and do it accurately.